Okay.
Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Today is the 10th month, the 6th day, year 2024, and the 20th Lord's Day after Pentecost, which the Lord hath made.
Let us be glad and rejoice.
I just wanted this, I'm working on the prayer book, which I like, I'm really glad I'm getting to dig into this again and perfect it. You get kind of, I knew there was stuff that needed to be fixed. It wasn't like a top emergency because the brothers have the faith and all that. But that book of all books, I told you, that's the first book, the prayer book. Because the first way you come to God is prayer. That's number one. Or you don't come to God at all. Then you study. Then you need the POF, the Bible, and the POF, and then the book on penance. But and the POF teaches you all of that. But anyway, after I saw, I was going to go into Netanyahu, you think, right after the Trump thing, and I had a little gap of a couple days before I was going to dive into Netanyahu. So let me start working on the purple ahead of time, parts of it. And I started digging into it. I went, this is important. I want to really get this thing done. I can't, like, just do it for 3 days and then stop for a month and pick it up again. And all. I could. So, in other words... But I still know I got to get Netanyahu out within like a month or two. I mean, it's got to be soon because he's been over here. So that needs to be done. So in the meantime, doing the prayer book stuff, which and I do that work I like because it's perfecting the religious works. And at the same time, to give you an example of how it works, like this morning, I do a thorough reading of one Bible chapter every day now, a thorough reading, so I can get to any grammar mistakes, any Bible text type for the fourth edition of the Bible, fourth edition of the Bible. So sometimes you're reading that and you come across something, I go, wow, like today, Jeremiah's, just one quote, Jeremiah's 12:5, and I tell you how it goes. And I went, something's sorry about that, right? And then I looked it up, and I had to look up about 5-6 different sources, look up the left. That took me literally about 2 hours. Wow. Just the one Jeremiah verse. And when I'm looking at that, I'm thinking I was going to go to the prayer thing. I says, no, the prayer thing's out the window now. I mean, once your mind's up, that sometimes the Bible text is quick. It's just like maybe grammar or a spelling mistake, which is rare, but grammar. And I bing, bing, and I'm done. But not all the time. Okay. And you got to be, sometimes you got to catch yourself because if you're in a hurry to get to some other work, you'll read something and you go, it ain't that bad, you know. We can leave it. It's not, I don't do that though. He says, no, concentrate on it. Yeah. This is, I'll give you, let me show you, if you get the verse, I'll show what I'm talking about.
You want the Bible?
Yeah, give me the Bible.
I got your verse.
You read the Bible?
You want yours? Yeah.
I know what you're saying, but mine is happened to probably the same what's in the Dewey because I didn't change it yet, so you can get me the Dewey. I'm going to try to remember what my correction was, but I'll try to tell you what it was. I had to check about 10 different Bibles and do some double checking, but I just want to give you an example of how it works, you know? So sometimes, like I said, you can spend a whole morning on one Bible verse, just making sure you got it right, then maybe you got to put a commentary
on. Jeremiah
12:5. Yeah. And I even, okay. And he's saying, if they have been wearied with running with footmen, how can Saul contend with horses? So that makes sense. But this other one was kind of weird. And if thou hast been secure in a land of peace, what wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? But that doesn't really work because it doesn't do the contrary. Here, oh, you're secure, but what are you going to do in the Jordan swellings? What it says is, and I forget exactly how it's worded, but I have it here. So it says, if thou hast been secure in a land of peace, well, I'm secure. And the other one's trying to say, hey, but you're wearied. The first one said, if you're wearied with running with footmen, how can you contend with horses? Well, that makes sense, because this you should have said, if thou art wearied in a land of peace, then what are you going to do when war comes? That's really what it means. That's not what it says. It's wrong here. And if thou hast been secure in a land of peace, what it comes out to this, and if thou art not secure, it's not that exactly like that, but it's close to that. If thou art not secure in a land of peace, then what will you do when in the thickets of the Jordan? So if you're in a land where there's no war and you're all messed up and all frazzled in a land when it's peacetime, what are you going to do when war comes?
Yeah.
That's what it really means. And so this is a complete opposite meaning. Because you're reading this, this don't make sense. It's supposed to be a contrary thing. But the Septuagint was not even right on this. And the Masoretic text, I forget, I don't know if they were correct on it. I think they were. But I had to check other texts also. And so I came up with the right thing on that. But
I'm quoting from Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. This is the erroneous text. And if thou hast been secure in the land of peace, what wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? The correct text says, and if in a land of peace you fall headlong, what will you do in the thickets of the Jordan?
Because it didn't make sense. Jeremiah is complicated too, by the way, on certain things. It's real, when you read it, it's good. It's very clear on the snap. But there's a real big difference between the Septuagint and the Douay, and the way it's arranged. They have it in different places. So I'll give you an example. When I was looking at the new, actually, some of these new Bibles they came out with, like in the 50s and 40s, the New American Bibles, they're pretty good. They do some good job on them. But this one, he took the last part of this Jeremiah's and he put it up after verse 6, and then he finished from verse 7 underneath it because it fits. Because it's sort of, when you read it here, it's out of place. Because as you're reading, you say, well, something's a little bit out of place here. So then after I'm looking at the whole thing and I'm reading the New American Bible, and I'm going, because you read it here, something's just not in place here. And then I read that, it's in better place than the New American Bible. And I went, then I went, wow, this is going to take like 3 days in a row, maybe 4 days. Yeah. At least, just 4 mornings totally of all my time to fix this. And I says, I got to get on. So I said, what I do is I put in my revisions on the fourth edition. I go, check Jeremiah chapter 12 with the other versions and correct if necessary. Or it's not correct, it's like rearrange if necessary. So I do that so that when I have time to work on it totally, I can dive into it. Because now this is something, and it's not just this, there's other things in here. And that could take a week in itself of just mornings. Which then I won't be doing the prayer book, no Netanyahu. It's complicated. But just to give you an idea of what goes on. But again, I'm not complaining. If you think I'm complaining, I'm just telling you. I'm just saying, like, sometimes you get these wise asses like Hector, the bastard. How come you didn't get the prayer book done yet? How come you didn't get this done yet? How come you didn't correct all your old works when you have Satan when he's not a saint? Why are you kidding me?
I know.
I already put an addendum in there about, you know, the earlier works on the site. See, what do you, all right, oh, you're still, yeah, look, if I took everything off I had before it's corrected, you don't got nothing on the site.
Yeah.
Even, you know, I think about St. Augustine. Back then, he didn't have the technology I have. And they would come out and write retractions years later. So when they did back then, they'd have people copying their stuff and handing it. It's out. And people are printing my work. It's out there. I can't go out there and correct everything they have. I can say in the future, guess what? Everything I said now about this is not correct because this guy's not a saint. We found out he's an apostate. But you get these young Weisenheimers, like this Hector, and the kid couldn't finish one project. Not one project. Not one thing could this kid do. He's always distracted, going all over the place. I was trying to help the kid. But when they start pushing you like that, that's when I know it's the devil and they're trying to get you. They really want to get you on something. When he's talking about, oh, look, there's some stupid things in your prayer book. Well, there's nothing really stupid. There's something that was worded badly. And there's some things that do need to be reworded. But fine, I'll do it. And even if there is something stupid, then I'll make it unstupid when I get a time to correct it, you know? And the big thing was, in my good conscience, I just couldn't use that prayer book. So then what prayer book are you going to use? Yeah. If you're not going to use my prayer book, Hector, you bastard, what, you can go. Look what your prayer book saw. Look how much I corrected. You realize how, you got to look at the revisions we made. This has been going on for like 30, 20 years, 25 years.
Yeah.
And we got revisions that hit upon dogmatic matters. But he's a snot-nosed punk.
Yeah.
That's what he is. Intellectual, you know, he's the scholastic that he that's what he is. His brains. Him and Gustavo, they no record. They just study.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many people are you?
One.
That's what I thought. I just wanted to clear that up.
And Brother TJ said a good thing. He says it's not just about writing something that's important, but knowing which to choose and which not to choose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because literally, there's a lot of stuff. That critical stuff to me, which is on the top of the list, is heretical stuff. Something that's heretical, and my past works or something's really bad, then I jump on that right away because, you know. Now, there are some things I have that are on deeper dogmas, like maybe with, I have to think about what we're talking about on certain issues. Not many, though. I don't know. I might have corrected them all, but there's still a lot of, it's okay. So, and then the other thing, because they're so set on theology, they don't recreate.
No.
They don't get involved in politics even. But you need to be involved in politics. That's part of religion. And I said before, even when I was listening to Jerry Maddox, he doesn't like, oh no, all these people watching football and all that. It's a Greek, it's a pagan kind of a thing. But my son yelled at me, but I still don't like it. He said, you can be studying instead of watching football. Yeah, you could be studying instead of sleeping.
Exactly.
And that's what you could be studying instead of eating. You could just study, blah, 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 blah. Intellectual bastards. And he's stupid too, believe me. I don't know, I may do something on him one day. But it's like Aquinas. They're all they become stupid.
Yeah.
How many times have I told the brothers that I do my deep work at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, do my afternoon prayers, I'm done. Mm-hmm. No more deep work. I do some research work in the afternoon, I recreate, do my walk, I watch a movie at night. And then when I play my games, I play war games every day. Board games, war games, watch my movie. And when I'm doing that, then God gives me the solution. Right when I'm watching, like we did, you know, you see how we talk? Then God gives me the solution. Because your mind is, you're not thinking, I'm going to do this all on my own, man. It's like Pelagianism. I'm such a genius. And you're ignoring all the other good things God gave you, and you're not balancing out your mental life. And so that's when God gives you the deep answers, because you're not... And Gustavo was like that. Hector's like that. Matatix is like that. And he's big on Aristotle. And people that are like that, they love Aristotle, Plato, Hector. He liked getting to that Muslim stuff. Not just because he wanted to refute it, because it's deep. He likes to get into that deep stuff. He's got that mind that's into the philosophies, whether he admits it or not. And you fall into that stuff. And our faith is really simple. It's the thing I just posted this week, just the other day, about scholasticism is beautiful.
Yeah, you got to be like little children. How are you going to be like little children when you're Aristotle and Plato?
When you're arrogant. And that's arrogant. I want to be smart. I'm at, and they're studying 24-7, brother. Now, I'm not against being smart. It's okay to be smart. But if you're humble and smart, that's what God wants. He wants a smart person that's humble, and then he can work with that person because that person corrects himself. He understands that he doesn't use his smarts to lord it over other people and say, look how smart I am and how stupid you are. How come you can't be as smart as me, you jerk, because you're not studying as hard? No, it's not because some people have different levels of IQ. That's a true thing.
Right, totally.
You don't insult the other person who's below you, just like if you're rich and you got a poor person. Yeah. You don't insult them. And as a matter of fact, that person who's got a lower IQ than you is going to give you a deep solution one day and help you in his own simplicity. And that's why he asked counsel for all the brothers.
Yeah.
So even a smart man that is humble, he understands that smarts is not everything. And he'll go to a sport. I'll give you an example. He'll go to a sport game. He'll watch football. He'll watch boxing. He's a smart guy. But he's humble. The other guys I'm talking about that look down on you, everything is their brain. No, they hate football. They hate sports. Mm-hmm. Watch out when they start saying that stuff.
Yeah,
the jocks and what was the word they used? The jocks and the intellectuals.
The geeks.
Well, we didn't have the word geek back then, but all the sports players were dummies. Yeah. And if you like sports, you're a dummy. Even if you're smart, you're a dummy. How could you like sports? You're a dummy. Even though you're smart, you're a dummy. You're a smart dummy, and because you shouldn't be doing sports. It's like they don't go together. So watch out when a person. I always thought when people go against sports, especially like football or something like that, it's because they tried out for the team and they got their butts kicked. And they're jealous.
Yeah.
And my point is, okay, I'm not saying everybody has to be a good football player. You can be a thin kid and physically unhealthy. I'm not wrong with that.
Yeah.
That kid's fine. That kid, a good kid like that, he'll watch sports and like it.
Yeah.
But there's other kids like that, they get jealous. Because they can't play sports, and they get envious of the sport player. There's just jealousy that goes from 10 different directions.
Yeah.
And they look at the sport player and they get envious and jealous because they could not make the team because they were cut. then they get into that. They get into that mentality of just the mind. Now, the sports is for a bunch of idiots. It's evil, and it's all jealousy and pride from two different directions.
Yeah.
Then you could get the sports guy that looks down on the guy that can't play sports, but that doesn't happen so much because usually a sports guy, even if a kid tried out for football and he wasn't able to play good, but he tried, they never goof on him.
Yeah.
They even respect him. They'll say, I'm glad you came out. You got guts, kid. Sorry you couldn't make it. Usually that's the way it works. But it's the kid that gets cut. Usually a lot of those guys, they get angry. And they start looking at sports players and get... you had that conflict at Catholic University of America. They didn't even want a football team. Let alone, they had a basketball team, but a football team, they had a hard time won because it's too rough. And, you know, we don't want that mentality on our campus. We're here for intel. And there's a big on that. The eggheads hated it. And the eggheads were winning out for a while. So we started out just as a small football team. And AAA, whatever you want to call it. And they were always fighting against it. You always had that conflict. But it's the same thing I'm talking about here. These people, they want to study, Bubba, 24/7. No recreation. No community with the brothers.
They tried out for the football team and they got... They got put as water boys.
As water boys. Yeah. not everybody's like that. Some people, but there are people that there's that conflict. And so my thing is, you want to idolize the brain, and you're put. Because Stiles said that. Because my recreation is when I'm studying the theology. That's your. I mean, that's to me the most fun I have is theology.
Yeah.
It is. Reading the scriptures and talking about, but all the deep work that I do, that's only in the morning. You can't do that all day. You're not supposed to do that all day. And even when we're recreating, we bring God into it.
Yeah.
We watched a secular movie last week. We're almost finished with Top Gun, and we stopped. We had a great conversation for about an hour on something very deep, which I should post because we recorded it. And so you're watching these things, and then God then gives you that grace because you're not trying to be Superman. You're not analyzing the brain. You're living the life God. It's not just enough to study about the life and learn about the faith, but to live it. Go out and live it. Live the life. Have the charity with the brothers. The joy, the peace that God gives you with the brotherhood, being around brothers. Recreating, enjoying the good things God gave you. So a real smart person, and they're out there, who's very diligent, smart, and humble, that's a great guy, great person. And you know, and everybody has a different level. So we're not putting down smarts. It's just a matter on how your emphasis on it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, imagine if you had a kid yourself, you know, what's Junior doing? He's in his room studying. Okay, good, it's the morning. Afternoon, what's Junior doing? He's in his room studying. Is he really? Yeah, he's studying. What's he studying? Well, he's studying theology, and he says now he's dabbling into refuting the Muslims and philosophy. Okay, but it's the afternoon. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. It's nighttime. What's Junior doing? He's studying. Yeah, but he was studying in the morning. He's studying in the afternoon. Is this normal? You can't get him away from the books. He's just got his nose buried in there. And what's Junior doing now? Oh, he's sleeping now. Yeah, I just went in there, and I heard him mumbling stuff while he was sleeping. About studying, you know, about Aristotle, Plato, and theology, and what he's having like dreams of. So even when he's sleeping, he's studying. No, it's like, I think there's something wrong with Junior.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Got to get his ass out there to play a little football game, kick his butt, have him go out and get a job.
They're very similar to those who like bite into the American dream and they just study. You know, they want to get the
degrees. Yeah,
these guys. I mean, they do nothing.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, they're studying.
It's the same thing.
They got like
it is
six classes to go to.
Okay, that's a good point. The American dream, same thing. They put all their effort 24/7 into the American dream. I remember even Charlie Rose. I liked him when he was on there. He had a lot of good stuff. Maybe he wasn't 100%, but he had one guy on there. Oh no, maybe Charlie. No, I forget who it was. He had somebody on there. Somebody was saying. He said, well, I only do most of my studying and my deep stuff up to 12 o'clock. And I got other quotes on this, other people. And Lick goes, no. He says, you're wasting your... What do you do the rest of the time? The guy's like, go and play golf. You know? And he says, Charlie Rose might have said that it's the other guy. And the guy says, I go out and play golf. And this guy was already successful, wrote a lot of books. He's like famous. And it's wherever his arena is. So he says, how do you get all this thing? He goes, well, I just work up to like in the afternoon, 11, 12, then I stop. I can't go no further. I have quotes on other people who have already say that. He says, what do you do in the afternoon? Well, I'll play golf or I play cards. And he says, you're wasting your time. We only have a limited time on this earth. You know, you're taking all your afternoons off playing golf. You could be studying. American Dream people, they don't do that. They bubba bubba, 24/7, baby. Yeah. We're studying how to make money. If we're not studying how to make money, we're making money. We're going out there. You don't take no afternoon off. You don't take one day off. You don't take 2 days off, or you're in trouble. The biggest thing they talk about in the hurricane is the kids can't go to school.
Yeah, I know.
Am I kidding you?
I know.
They're saying we're going to get together this one big school so all the kids can go to this school so they don't miss any more days of school. Are you kidding me? It's what Sal said. Yeah. It's the American Dream imbibes that.
Yeah. And they're not going to be indoctrinated. Yeah. They'll miss some indoctrination.
Yeah. Two things I thought about right there. Number one, they're not going to be indoctrinated. Number two, which might be number one, these are the parents. The kids got to stay home. The parents don't want them in the house.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the ass.
Oh, yeah.
I got to have the kids hanging around for a week. Oh, man.
And the money.
It's like they're babysitters.
The money they lose for the school.
To schools, which is a secondary thing because they can still pay them in the time off. It's mostly that they want to indoctrinate them, and also the parents don't want the kids in the house.
Exactly.
It's like the kids are being babysitted for 8 hours a day. Get the kid out of the house. He's a pain in the ass. How could you look at your kid as a pain in the ass? Your own kid. Is Mateus online now, sister? Yes. Isn't that baby Michael?
Yep. Yeah.
How could you ever look at it like that? Look at Brother Ryan. He's still with his family, 30 years old. You should never leave your family unless you're going to get married. Yeah. Or you got to go to war. I'm not saying that there's other exceptions, but generally, what's the point of moving away from your family only if you get married?
Right.
And you're starting your own family in your own home.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much you should love your family. Mm-hmm. Love your kids. I told you a story many times about how Italians are like that. He used to call mama boys, but that was a lie. They called Jesus a mama boy. Because he stayed with the Holy Family up until the last moments even. When he went out in his public ministry, he's still low. That was there, but he was always with his family. But can you imagine Jesus saying, Jesus and Joseph and Mary, thank you for taking care of me like for these 23 years. But I'm 23 years old and I think I'd like to go out on my own. Well, where are you going to go? I'll find somewhere to go, but not with you two. Not with us two? No, you're not happy? No, I just want to be on my own. You're going to get married? No, I didn't get married. I just want to go out with someone else. I'll pick some other people to be with, but not you, you know? Oh, you want to go out on your own. What do you want to go out on your own for? Now you're alone. Now you don't got the help of the family. You're on your own. It's crazy. This is insanity. This is the people hating their own offsprings. It's in the Bible.
Look at Jacob and Abraham. They all stayed together.
I love about the Bible? Reading the Bible in the Bible movies, when you watch Joseph, and you see the tents, and you see his many wives and kids all living together. And I said, what's great is when you're all living together like that, or within close vicinity, if your wife gets sick, the other guys will come and help and cook for you. You have people helping you. You're not like on an island. This is part of the Bible, the curse where it says you're going to despise the offspring. They're going to despise their own children. They're going to despise them. Abortion is a good example of that.
Oh, for sure.
They despise their kids.
Never said Nihilus predicted that there would be no love in the end times.
No. And then when your kid goes out into that world alone, even when you send your kid to college with 20,000 other kids, all messed up with lust and everything, and you send your kid away to college, you're damning him.
Yeah.
The kid's dead. He's in a sea of iniquity.
Yeah,
that guy's done. Yeah. And you don't care because you're the parents, because they're in a sea of iniquity.
Yeah.
What do they care? They even want their kid to be iniquitized.
Yeah.
That's a good word I just created. Iniquitized. You like that one? My kid got iniquitized.
And then he was liquidated.
He got iniquitized.
Liquidated.
So you lose. And because the parents are like that. They went to the school system. Oh, it's great. Go to Sephardic fraternity. Do this. Fornicate. Do that. And my son's turn to do that now.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, son, did you fornicate yet? No, I'll get you a whore.
Yeah.
Here, then at least you can fornicate. My son didn't fornicate yet. Oh, what's wrong with your son? Crazy. Let him fornicate. Let's get him a girl in here, a whore.
I remember when they had COVID, I was reading articles like New Mexico. Well, they're all locked down. They couldn't go, well, we're missing the experience of college. But because we had the
guys, yeah,
they had them all locked down. Yeah, okay.
That was one of the good things.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, you can't go around when we're around. And
that was one of the good things.
Yeah, exactly.
When you look at these football games and all these kids in the stadium, and they're all immoral, and you're going, can you just imagine what's going on those college games? Look. I'm not even going to say just as a Catholic. I'm going to say if you're not even Catholic, you're like a pagan or you're some type of another unbeliever, but you got the natural law. Mm-hmm. Natural law. Okay, I'm just going to talk natural law, not even a Catholic thing. But Catholic thing makes it even more, but he's your own kid. And that's why even pagans love their kids back. There's probably some that didn't at certain periods of time, but mostly they do. The Viking guy, you see how he took care of his young kid when you watch the Viking?
Yeah.
He taught the kid how to hunt. He taught the kid how to, he went with his father. His father kept an eye on him. He taught him to take care of the family and all that. Now, it's like a natural law kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah.
And if you want them to say, look, I want your kid to go over at these perverts over here. I don't want them to raise your kid. He'd have your head off on a pike.
Yeah. Yeah.
There'd be a major war if you ever tried to take their children away.
Yeah.
But now, because the parents are corrupted too and lazy, they don't want to take care of their kids. Yeah, and guys, you know what? These women, they're so lazy bastards. Now they go out and work for a stranger, and they're working harder for a stranger than they would if they stayed in their home, which is where they would have got their true joy, by taking care of their loving their family.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I remember even my Hungarian grandmother, and when you go over there, nothing made her more happy than to cook for you and to make and watch you eating her food. And, oh, God. Yeah, and if you didn't, what's wrong? How come? Come here. Oh, and she was happy. It was the opposite with my sisters and my mother. Mm-hmm. When feminism came in, they didn't want to cook. They hated it. And when you're eating, they were like, nah. I said, well, look, I didn't want to eat the food. You know, let's say food made without love. I'd rather eat crappy food with love than good food with people that are a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So I said, look, I'll cook my own stuff. Just leave me alone then. I don't want to hear this shit anymore. Look, I had to cook for you. I had to slave over the oven. I got to cook for you 3 times a day or 2 times a day. Well, you know, I said to my mother, you know, we eat. You know, us human beings eat. You know, if we don't eat for a couple of days, we die. All right? So, I mean, what are you telling me here? So, you want me to cook? That's what you're telling
me.
Yeah. You're telling me you want me to cook? I mean, what a stupid statement that is, right?
I know.
I'm just telling you the opposite of how this feminism when it came in.
Yeah.
This laziness. But my sisters are really bad. Real bad. They would burn stuff on purpose so you couldn't eat it.
Exactly.
So then they wouldn't have to cook no more. I mean, it's like, where's the love?
Where's the love?
And these are the people that are always talking about love in other contexts, right? I thought about this. It's like, if you loved your kid or your animal, right? Well, an animal. And the animal loves you. Don't feed him for about like 4 days and see if he's going to not run around looking for someone else to eat from. And then you can say, how dare you be disloyal to me? Going to the eat instead of staying with me. I'm hungry. You're not feeding me. And generally that translates to like, you must hate me because you want me to die. You know what I mean? You must hate me because you want me to die. So, because people say this, the only reason that they like is because you're feeding them. And like humans, you're feeding. Well, try not feed him a couple of days and then see what happens. He'll run away from you. Yeah, because he's hungry. He's hungry. They used to say that about cats, but it's not true. My cat's not hungry. He'll jump up on my lap. He'll stay there. He just wants to be petted. And he's not even eating. He's not hungry. He wants the affection. It's not just food. But if you don't give the guy food, he doesn't get pissed off. I mean, come on. You know what I mean? Yeah, you got to sit back and wonder if your mother don't feed you flies, what's wrong with Ma? She's trying to kill me. And some of the food she cooked will kill you. What a crazy world we're living in. But that's the feminism thing, you know? All right, like I said, I wasn't going to give a lecture, but this is probably going to be a good one anyway.